This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and it is a Friday morning, so I'm joined once again by John Letts, my horse racing expert. How are you this morning, John?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Jordan. I've just got a few little, well, what can we say, little ditties this morning, and I'll get your opinion on them. Last night, someone in New South Wales won the entire $60 million Powerball jackpot. Jordan, what's your thoughts on this? You know, $60 million, why not have six draws out of $10 million?
Yeah, it does make sense to spread it out a little bit, get everyone else a chance to win, you know, a part of it. But, you know, if I won $60 million, I'd be pretty chuffed with myself.
Yeah, but what would you do with $60 million? I mean, your life changes. We had years ago, the first lottery was won up, I think, in New South Wales, and that young child was kidnapped and murdered for ransom. I mean, your life after, if someone knew you had, I've known a guy that won a lottery, and he said that his letterbox was full of letters for the next 6 months. People, you know, asking for money and people knocking on the door, and he said, your life changes. He said, I'd have been better off not winning it.
Hmm. I mean, so, I like to, not that I earn a whole heap at the moment, but I like to spread out what I do earn to different charities and stuff. So I like to think that if I did win $6 million or $60 million, I would be a bit more charitable as well now that I have that, you know, safety net.
Yeah, well, that's a way to think about it, but a lot of people don't.
No.
A lot of people
they
don't.
They buy a big old house and a big old boat.
Yeah. That's what I'd like to, just have a beach shack, a boat, you know, I wouldn't go overboard with it, more or less. But I would have a nice boat, have a beach shack, and, you know, and then help some of the charities. I love the, you know, Riding for Disabled. I'm the patron for Riding for Disabled and places and different functions like that. And, of course, the RSPCA and something, excuse me, but something that which has affected the charities in the last, I was reading this morning about the charities now are suffering because of, you know, lack of donations. But this has been brought about by going to the card instead of, you know, the money.
Mm.
Because a lot of people, and you know yourself, you go into a shop and you buy something, say, for $1.60 or $1.70, and there's a little tin there, and you put your 30 cents in. And you just say, oh, we'll give that to the RSPCA or with the dog's home or, you know, save a horse. We got round at our coffee shop at Strappers here, we save a horse. So everyone chucks in their change, you know, and so gets that horse a home. But now with the card, no one's got
spare change sitting around, yeah.
No change sitting around. So that's what I was, I actually spoke with some people from the RSPCA and those places and Riding for Disabled, and that has affected them a lot because no change in your pocket. You just got a card. I mean, you're not going to give someone your card and say, oh, look here, take it out of this, because, well, you trust the people, but you just don't know, do you?
Mm. Yeah. And there's a lot of issues as well. Like, I don't think we'll ever see a cashless society because there's a lot of people who do rely on having cash, and there's, like, you know, doing odd jobs around the place. You don't want to go through a formal payment system for that if you're just doing, like, odd jobs and cash in hand kind of jobs. And on top of that, you know, there's always reason to be cautious about anything online, anything electronic, because that can be tracked and you never know who by.
Yeah, cool. You know, with the modern technology, and I'm not right up to date with it, my daughter comes over and helps me when I go. This week I was through to Tasmania on Zoom and Skype, you know, that's where you talk to people. Mm. Then we had a school over in La Trobe University, over at La Trobe Primary School over there. And we spoke to the kids. Well, I spoke to the kids at the school for the Melbourne Cup tour. My daughter had to come and set it all up for me. I've got no idea whatsoever. I mean, I can use the phone, but that's about all. Switch the telly on and off. And then today we're doing a show through to Victoria, and we're doing it with this Zoom and Skype again. And she'll come over and set my machine up. But this is what the Melbourne Cup tour is going to be like this year. We're going to do a lot of it on the television and talk to people at different functions where we can get our message out for the tour. On Wednesday we'll be at Tangara Island, which we'll be there in person actually, because we're going over with the Lexus Melbourne Cup on Wednesday, and we'll be able to talk to people over there. But interstate, and that we're doing it all through the TV now. It's incredible, isn't it? It's just how, you know, I can talk to them, they can talk to me, and it's modern technology. I know a lot of people just aren't really happy with, well, not happy, but comfortable with it. I can sit in my office at home now and more or less talk to the world on it. I mean, that's great technology, but I mean, I was quite happy to jump on a plane and go to Darwin or go all around. We had 39 cities and 6 countries to do every year. It was tiring. We didn't do them all. Couldn't do the lot, but did a fair portion of them I did. But still enjoyed it. We got out amongst the people and let them hold the cup, whereas now we can tell them about the cup. But Wednesday, we'll be at Tangra Island and they'll be able to hold the cup and have their photos taken with it, which is something that they will never ever get a chance to do in their lifetime if we're not taking it out to them. So yeah. But hey, what about this one, Jordan? Now, you know, talking about overseas and all that and going travelling and that, what about with a passport? Do you think we should get a refund? Because I haven't used my passport now. I won't be able to use it for 12 months or more. Do you think I should get a rebate?
Yeah, because how long? Passports last a fair amount of time, don't they? And yeah, I feel if you had just paid for your passport,
I have,
and just before the coronavirus hit, I'd be feeling pretty salty about it. But like I updated my passport a couple of years ago, and I've been overseas twice since then. So I feel like I've at least gotten my money's worth out of it. And you know, coronavirus won't be forever. But if it does seem to be like no international travel for the entire length of your passport, I would definitely be looking into how do I get my money back on that. Because what's the benefit of having a passport if it's just sitting there collecting dust and not, you know, getting to use it to go overseas and collect stamps?
Well, that's right. Even if they stamp it with an extended date on it, they could even stamp it. I mean, with modern technology, that's a matter of pressing a button. Now, this is also another one. And this is one that's quite interesting, I think. I was just looking, they're going to, I see where Bill McLaughlin said, oh, we're going to stay at 16 minutes per quarter for the final. And the final. Now, 16 minutes per quarter, four quarters is just 4 minutes off every quarter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 16 minutes. So we miss one quarter.
Yeah.
And do we get a reduction in our fees in the gate?
That's something I never considered as well, because, like, I mean, I haven't paid for an AFL ticket for a few years now, but, like, how much do they normally go for?
Well, I don't know. I don't go to the footy. I love to sit back because I like to be able to just watch. I just love to be able to watch the replays of what's happened, whereas if you're at the Oval,
you miss it all. and they're all so tiny running around on the field.
You know, there's nothing worse than someone say, did you see that? And you say, no. Say, well, they're not going to do it again. But that's what that's why I like to watch it on, that's why I love watching it on TV. But I tell you what, the Channel 7, really, honestly, they're so far away now. Well, I know the cameras are over the other side of the Oval, but gee, with modern technology, with some of the stuff you do miss because it's that far away, you don't know who's taken a mark and who's got injured or whatever. So, you know, to me, bring us right. I don't know. The last couple of years, it's always been fantastic coverage with, you know, bring you right into the game and you're just about there with the player. But now, You'll see the ball be kicked down the other end, and you won't even see who's marked it.
I suspect they've cut back on staff, maybe because of COVID-19 restrictions. But then again, cameramen are so spread out; like you've got them on the bloody roof, they're not getting interaction with anyone who could have coronavirus.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Now, also, I was going to say, what about? Hey, this is a worry. You're a cricket buff, aren't you?
You're for sure. Buff.
Yeah, but what about now? Channel 7 declared war in the TV rights, and as Channel 7's dramatically closed its doors on cricket for the rest of the year in a move that's put instant pressure on the game.
Yeah, that's...
The networks, hey, you see, the networks contracted to pay $75 million a year for the rights, yet they only paid $25 million before declaring the Cricket Australia won't see another cent from it this summer. That's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really frustrating because, I mean, I've always watched cricket on free-to-air, like, my entire life. And I think, like, Channel 7 are worried that Big Bash isn't going to be the same because they're not getting in the same international stars. But, you know, it's still, you know, people aren't watching it for the international stars. They're watching it for the, you know, big hits. And there's plenty of Australian cricketers throughout the country who can, you know, provide those big hits and that excitement. Channel 7, I think they're being a bit big old babies about it all, really.
Yeah, well, it might be with the coronavirus too, with a bit of a cutback on finance too. It could be that even, because as we know, there's a lot of companies going through hard times at the moment, and financially that is.
Yeah, true. It could be a bit of a misdirect, Channel 7 going through their own financial struggles and taking it out on Cricket Australia.
Yeah. Now, tell me this, the last one before we get into the tips.
Mm-hmm.
Novak Djokovic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, is, and we'll just explain to the people about, you know, he hit the ball and hit a line person.
In the
Laura
throat.
Clark.
Yeah, what a shot.
Hit her in the throat. Yeah, now, you know, this is just getting out of hand when they're allowed to carry on like this. I mean, there's got to be violations. And I actually heard someone talking the other day, and we were talking in a group of us, and they said, okay, a guy comes out, and he hits a bad shot or he misses an easy shot and he bashes his racket on the ground. Mm. He said, why don't they bring in the rule that you have to use that racket for the rest of the match as well?
that would stop them for sure. Yeah, trying to...
That would stop them, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, some of them just carry on stupid, don't you? I mean, I know we let our frustrations go, but we don't do that. We've had a situation in racing, and I won't use names, but a jockey threatened the steward. Now he can't ride anymore.
Oh. I wouldn't say jockeys don't seem like the most threatening people, though.
No, look at the size of us.
It's okay.
Who are we going to threaten, the four-year-old kid?
Yeah. I mean, if the steward couldn't handle that, that's on them, I guess. But, there's that line of command. So.
Yeah, well, his career's over now. His career is over, that jockey. And he threatened the steward And I mean, okay, no one will ever most likely hear what was said or anything, but it was a passing remark, more or less. But I mean, the rules are rules, but I don't know whether there is a rule for that. I think the rule for that should be, right, oh, we're going to fine you X amount of dollars, fine you, you know, $10,000 and or $20,000, and you get 6 months suspension. But I mean, to take away a livelihood, and I'm not sticking up for the jockey in any way whatsoever, but I think that is a bit severe when we look at the penalties that the courts give out. You can go and run and hit knock someone over and get away with a bond and a $200 fine, and you can hit them with a car. So, I mean, there was never any physical altercation or anything, and the guy's career's gone, you know?
So, I guess it does. I mean, well, it probably depends very much on what was said, which I guess if we don't know that, it's hard to judge. But
no.
I mean, to lose your career over it must have been something pretty extreme.
Yeah, it must have been pretty extreme. But I mean, it actually happened. It actually happened when the jockey was on the horse going to the barrier. So I can't see how he could have said much, because horses go around the barrier at a good pace. And the stewards had just walked. He's a steward walking across the track.
So maybe he had a couple of seconds. The really choice words that really stung the steward.
Yeah, well, fine him for foul language.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean, it's a pretty severe penalty. I mean, I'm not sticking up for either one of them. But to me, I would have said, okay, you've got 6 months, and you've got a $10,000 fine, and you do it again, you'll get 12 months, and you'll get a $50,000 fine. Mm. So that would have, you know, everything I think would have settled down then. But this is something very quickly too, Jordan. You know, with all of these suspensions and fines, well, there's a lot of suspensions, isn't there, in racing and harness racing and different sort of sports.
Mm.
You know what I think would be one way of getting a lot of money for sport is to fine the participant that actually committed the offence. Fine them and then put it into the coffers of the club or the association. If you fine someone $50,000, that's $50,000 that your club's got.
Yeah.
But if you give them a month's suspension, what have you got?
Yeah, no one benefits.
No one. Nothing. So well, the powers to be, they got their own rules and let them go anyway.
Mm.
So what's the good of arguing with them?
I guess it depends on the sport as well, because if like if an athlete, like say in the AFL, you charge them $50,000, they earn a lot of money, $50,000. I mean, it's no small amount of money, but it's probably not a huge deterrent if they get to just, you know, okay, I can pay that bill, I'll get to keep playing. I think for the athletes, it's more of a deterrent for them to behave if they know that they will miss out on doing the thing they enjoy.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, mate, we'll have a training racing tomorrow, and we've got... And the first one, like the three horse called Somerset Maugham. Now, tell me, was he a great poet? Somerset Maugham, or a writer?
What was that?
Somerset Maugham. a great writer or a poet?
I'm just a dum-dum on radio. I can't tell you about poets.
Yeah, well, I've heard the name Somerset Maugham. I don't know if all the listeners know that, you know, we're only telling them, and we don't know. Anyway, race one, number three, Somerset Maugham. Race two, I like number two, John Quest. Race three, I like number four, Pearl Bandit. Race four, I like number three, a horse called Chappie. Race five, number eight, Moana Sarah. Race six, number one, Lacani Rose. Race seven, number one, Classy Jack. He's got a bit of weight, but he's racing very well. Race eight, I like number nine here, a horse called Seemingly Discreet. She's first up again after a bit of a break, and I think she's pretty good, but she'll get a lot of opposition from a horse called Ghana in the same race, but I do think that she can win. And race nine, I like a horse with a little bit of odds, a horse called Thompson's Reward, one of the David Jolly from the David Jolly Yard, and David's having a very, very good run at the moment, and he's a very, very good trainer, and I think this horse tomorrow's about time it came home for us. It's going to be about a 12-1 chance. Okay, we'll go to Melbourne, and in the first I like number two, which is a horse called Cumberbatch, to be ridden by Damien Oliver. It's about $6 or $7. Race two, I like number six, a horse called Ancestry. Philip Stokes, our own South Australian trainer from here. He's got his horse in over there. Race three, I like number six, a horse called Crystal Chief. This horse is about $12. Race four, I like number six, another horse in the Philip Stokes yard, which is called Octane. He's won his last three, and he might be pretty good. I think Phil has got him over there to put him in the deep end against the best of them. Race five, I like number three, a horse called Fabric. Look, I've nearly made this my best bet of the day, and it's about an 8-1 chance, Jordan. Race five, number three. Race six, I like number two, Aidensfield, which is a $4 chance. I like in race seven, number nine, Order of the Garter. Now, that's something to do with army stuff, isn't it? I think Order of the Garter. It's an award, I think, Order of the Garter. But he's one of those international horses that are coming over here. And he's from Ireland. And I think he's got a good chance. He's about $4. Race 8, I like number 1, Behemoth. I want to see this win again for David Jolly, own Adelaide horse. David, very, very good trainer. And he's in the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes tomorrow. It's a Group 1. And race nine, I like number six, a horse called Liar, L-Y-R-E, Liar, to be ridden by, who's just come back from the injuries, Luke Curry. It'd be good to see if Luke's, because he was going to be a long time, but he's back, and Liar is in the last race. I hope it wins for him. So anyway, in South Australia, race one, number three, race two, number two, race three, number four, race four, number three, race five, number eight, race six, number one, race seven, number one, race eight, number nine, and I'd put Garner in as a bit of a danger in that race as well, because it was a toss-up in that race to see which one I really liked in race eight. Garner's number five. It's odds-on favourite, but he's Seemingly Discreet. She'll be hard to beat. And in the last, I like number 15, Thompson's Reward, which is pretty good odds of getting out of the double figure odds here, $12. Caulfield, race one, I like number two. Race two, number six. Race three, number six. Race four, number six. Race five, number three. That's my best bet over there. I like each way. Race six, number two. Race seven, number nine. Race eight, number one. And race nine, number six. That's how I see them tomorrow. And we've been going okay at the moment too, Jordan, because the first winner we had last week, finished up paying about $11 or something.
That's not bad.
So, you know, it starts you off the day good. If you can get in early and win, and you got your bets on only, you know, a dollar each way or something, and, you know, you bet responsibly, well, you can have a lot of fun just listening for your dollar each way. You can have just as much fun listening for a dollar each way as what you can of having 20 each way. And you don't lose as much. You don't win as much, of course, but you don't lose as much. So just do it for the enjoyment.
Well, John, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining me again this week.
Okay, Jordan, and we'll speak to you next week, mate.
Will do. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert, on your Classic It's Breakfast.